Welcome to the Round 13, your Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm Marcus, and I'm joined this week by Faz and Mark. Say hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
G'day, everyone. I'm pumped for the show tonight.
All right, we'll start off by letting you guys know how we went on the weekend. None of us did too well. I scored 21-25, which wasn't too great. Dropped down 157 spots, so I'm sitting at 364th, but luckily enough, I managed to avoid all the carnage, so I actually, you know, came out of the round pretty relieved. How did you guys go?
Not so good for me, mate. You beat me by about 13 points, 21-12 for me. But more importantly, I had Mundy go down and Selwood now suspended. So that's a pretty big hole in my team with Pendlebury and Swan already going to be sitting on my bench this week. It's going to make things pretty difficult. Mundy also cost me my league game against my mate Nate, who won by about 30 points. So that gave him bragging rights. So I'm not very happy with Mundy at the moment.
Yeah, and I had an absolutely atrocious weekend this week. Scored 19.99, so any Prince or Silverchair fans will be happy with that, but not me. I also had Mundy in the side, so that hurt, and had six players score above 100, so my premiums are definitely not behaving like they should be. Don't know what to do about this team, really. It's just gone to shit. Outside the top 10,000 now. So, and I thought my weekend of carnage had ended. Didn't have any players playing on the Queen's birthday weekend game, so I thought I was safe from any more disappointment. And then what happens? Dan Nicholson, late withdrawal, my recent trade-in. So things went from bad to worse. But yeah, enough about that. Let's jump into the show.
Yeah, it's a pretty big week this week, obviously. Selwood has been suspended for 4 weeks. He lost at the tribunal tonight. And, of course, Mundy out for, I think, 6 to 8 was the prognosis with a fractured fibula. So we'll start by talking.
I think I can actually hear you smiling there, Marcus, considering you don't have those guys.
It's hard to take pleasure in people going down, but it does look pretty good for my Supercoach chances, fortunately. Yeah, we'll jump in with the rookies on the bubble this round. So we're going to start off with a guy that we flagged last week, and that was James Strauss from Melbourne. Did anyone catch his game on the weekend? He scored 87, which is pretty good.
I did, yeah. He's actually looked really good in his two games, 70 and 87 so far, running off half back. And without Grimes there, with Taps got injured as well, he seems to be playing a pretty good role for Melbourne. And, I mean, he's a pretty highly rated kid, so not really any surprise that when he's come in, he's made an impact. And he's not a first-year rookie either. So, yeah, I think he's probably one of the better-looking rookies going around at the moment.
Yeah, probably agree with everything you said there. He was pick 19 back in the 08 draft, so obviously highly rated as a youngster. Didn't play any football in his first year, then got two games last year. So that's why his price is still so low. Probably Tapscott returning to the team might take his scoring down a little bit, but don't think it'll hurt too much, and I'd say pretty good job security as well.
Now, the next player we're going to look at is also a Melbourne rookie, and that's Jeremy Howe from Melbourne. He's listed in the forward line, 103,000, and his two scores have been 97 and 50.
Yeah, he's got big raps about his jump, his aerial ability. I've heard big things about him taking massive flying marks down in the Tassie League. Haven't actually got to see either of his games, though. So have you got any thoughts on him, Mark?
Yeah, the commentators were saying on Monday that there's a fair chance he'll be taking basically a key position role for Melbourne. And I don't think that bodes well for his scoring, because he did get away against Essendon in that first game. But now that he's shown something, and if he plays a few weeks, he's going to get a pretty good player going to him with Melbourne not having too many other options down there. So in that sense, I'm a bit worried about his scoring potential. Got to be some concerns over job security as well. If you're looking for a forward rookie, he's probably the best one available this week, but still some pretty big concerns over him, I think.
The next guy we're going to look at is also yet another Melbourne rookie on the bubble. That's Max Gawn in the Rucks. Now, Zach Smith is looking pretty ripe for the plucking at the moment, but of course he's still covering for Sandilands for a lot of teams, and most teams are likely to have a few more issues than to be able to downgrade in the Rucks this week, but he's just an option to keep note of if you are looking to downgrade Zach Smith this week.
Once Jamar comes back, he's gone.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's 206 centimetres, which is absolutely massive. I think he's second tallest player in the league behind Aaron Sanderlands, but yeah, can't see him keeping Jamar out of the side.
Now, another backline rookie to look at is Tom Simkin from St Kilda, 103,000 and has posted two scores of 61. Anyone catch his game?
Yep, I think Strauss is the better option out of the two, but Simkin, I remember he did show a bit over the preseason, so not a horrible pick, but I think he probably does have some job security issues. So move on to the next player, and that is, you know how to pronounce this one, Faz, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's Zach Tui, the Irish lad. Kicked a great goal right at the end of the game against Brisbane. I think he had his first game, he had the sub vest on for most of it. Does one of you have any scores up there?
9 and 79.
Yeah, so he did look quite good. His game sense is actually pretty good for someone who's only been playing the sport for, I think this is his second year on Carlton's list. But yeah, so only 2 years of AFL and he's looking quite good. His skills are actually surprisingly good again for an Irishman. Though Carlton do have quite a bit of depth at the moment. There's guys like Houlihan, Kane Lucas, he's probably behind Tui at the moment. But
there's a good
else?
4 or 5 in the reserves from Carlton that could easily step up into the seniors, and Tui would have to be one of the lower players in Carlton's current side. I mean, his VFL form before he got the call-up was brilliant. He has been given an opportunity, and he seems like the sort of guy that could very well take that opportunity and push along with it. The concerns about job security would have to be pretty significant, though, I would have thought.
So I think we're probably all agreed here that Strauss is probably the best of the backline options this week.
So the final option we want to consider is Isaac Smith, who we've talked about a bit, the Hawthorn rookie that is mature age. I think he's 22. He played 2 games, averaged about 70-odd. MPP, with Young going down this week with a hamstring, he's got to be some chance of getting a game. I know he sat a few out with general soreness, but was back playing on the weekend and named in their best. So if he does get named this week, he'd probably be someone to consider up forward.
I know a lot of people are loading up on Hawthorn because they got good SOS, so just want to mention that and for people to keep that in mind that, you know, if you've got Hodgie and Franklin and Rioli or whatever, that make sure you watch out for the buy situation. Don't want too many out in the same line. Now, we're going to quickly talk about Jed Adcock. He had surgery on his finger today. And I think they said they're not 100% on the time frames, but it does look like he'll miss 1 to 3 weeks. Is that right?
That's what I heard, Matt.
Yeah, so obviously there's a lot on the show we want to cover, Selwood and Mundy, so we're not going to spend too much time going through the options. We did talk backline premiums last week as well, but we're just going to talk about whether to actually trade or to keep him. Mark, you own him in DT. What are you thinking with Jed Adcock?
I do own him in Dream Team and was very happy until about 3 weeks ago when he was given shutdown roles. I just wonder whether maybe he's been a bit injured for the last few weeks as well. Personally, I've got to trade a couple in the midfield this week. I've got Montagna, Swan, Selwood and Mundy in Dream Team. So two of them are going to have to go. So I can't actually deal with him this week even if I wanted to. But look, I'm leaning towards keeping him. I think 3 weeks is the sort of amount of time where you should probably be trying to keep them if you've got bench cover. Backline bench cover is probably better than other places on the ground for myself. So I think I'll be looking at keeping him and hoping that the rest does him good and that he comes back scoring well.
Yeah, I did hear that he was playing through that broken finger injury for a few weeks, so that could have been sort of the explanation for some of his lower scores. Though one final thing to consider would be that Merritt has gone down with a long-term injury. And although Adcock's not going to be stepping into his exact role, it does mean that guys like Patful and Maguire sort of get shuffled up to taking, you know, the first and second forward, and that might leave Adcock with the next forward in line.
Yeah, but I think that something for people to keep in mind at the moment is that there's going to come a point where you can't just trade out every player that gets injured, because you're just going to run out of trades doing that, and you are going to have to keep some 2-3 week injuries. And Selwood and Mundy probably don't fall into that category, but other ones that are coming up, just be on the lookout that if you can cover them, you're probably going to have to keep them sometimes.
Yeah, I think it probably finally hit us this week that, you know, how serious seriously bad things can get this year, because we've not had to experience the buys before. So anyone that, you know, copped Mundy and Selwood out with, you know, Swan and Pendlebury out, we've never really had to deal with four premiums out, you know, all at once. Let alone the, you know, two, we hardly have to deal with two premiums out all at once. So, yeah, definitely agree with Mark there. And if you can keep hold of Adcock, and you're confident, of course, that, or reasonably confident that he's going to return to good form, then yeah, definitely hold on to him. So we're going to move straight on to Selwood and Mundy chat. Now, as was mentioned at the top of the show, Selwood's out for 4 weeks. So add in his
What did you think about that, Marcus?
I was actually pretty pissed off, mate. As a Geelong supporter, I was not happy at all. He argued intent, that it was reckless rather than intentional. Now, I don't know how many of you out there has actually seen the footage, but it's pretty shit. It's grainy, and it's from a long way back behind the goals, and you can barely tell it's even Joel Selwood. And I don't know how they could even take, you know, he wasn't arguing he didn't injure the guy. He was arguing intent. Now, this guy's never been suspended at any level, you know, of sporting, you know, in his life. And you're going to take some crappy, grainy footage over, you know, a man's word saying he didn't intentionally, you know, perforate his eardrum. It's not like you got punched in the face. You know, I wasn't happy as a Geelong supporter. But moving on, he's out. He's going to be missing 5 of the last 12 rounds, which pretty much means, you know, at 521,000, you need to trade him to get better utility out of that money. And Mundy, of course, with a relatively long medium-term injury, will also need to be traded. So we're going to run through some of the options. I will start off by mentioning Scott Pendlebury, who, of course, is on the bye this weekend. Now, if you're not hit too bad by your bye situation and injury situation, that Pendlebury is someone to look out for, because if you can wait the week, you get him bye free, and of course he's the highest averaging player at the moment, so that's definitely a good option if you can afford that.
Now, yeah, I think he'd be just about number one on my list. He's just racked it up in junk time on the weekend, and I've had him in my team since the start, and he's been a huge bonus for me.
Now, we're going to move on to talking about the rest of the options now who are available for selection this week. First one is Gary Ablett, who is actually the second highest averaging midfielder. So he's doing really well. He scored 139 on the weekend, and he's certainly looking like a player you must have, as much as it pains me to say that, because, you know, I've been doubting him with injury and stuff, but he's just scoring so well it hurts not to have him. But we want to talk now about sort of, you know, especially, you know, with Selwood and Mundy going down, whether we're talking about durable players over scoring potential, because especially when, you know, the two last multi-buy rounds hit and stuff, that we're going to be pretty precarious in our bench cover. So what do you guys reckon about that at the moment? Do you go for the player who's very valuable, who's very durable, over someone who has a higher scoring potential like Gary Ablett?
I think the answer is probably yes, especially if they have a reasonably similar scoring potential. The top two options that we've got here really stand out to me, and that is Boyd and Ablett. Now, Ablett probably has Boyd by, he might have him by maybe 5 points at the end of the year, depending on what happens, obviously. But Boyd just seems so much more likely to play the 22 games out that I think I'd be sacrificing that small edge in average and picking up the player that I really thought was going to play through, because I know a lot of people are going to be under 10 trades after this week, and there's still 12 rounds of the season left. So in those last 4 or 5 weeks, there's a lot of stuff that could happen. And with one of the top teams starts resting someone on a week where another team has a bye, and then Ablett picks up just one of those slight niggles that he seems to get and needs a rest towards the end of the year, then that could just prove carnage for your midfield like we're experiencing this week. So I think personally, Ablett is a fairly high-risk pick just because he's so fully priced and he has that slight injury history. I think he's also, as you said, Marcus, he's scoring brilliantly. So I'm certainly not saying he's a bad pick. I'm just saying if it was out of them two, I'd probably be going the safer route and taking Matty Boyd personally.
Yeah, I'd probably see myself just on the other side of things there. The thing, just looking at these two guys in Selwood and Mundy that have gone down, is that in previous years, we probably would have considered these some of the most durable players in the league. I know Mundy in particular, he had a massive stretch where he hadn't missed a game for 4 or 5 seasons in a row. And then you really can't predict sort of the injuries that some players get or the suspension in Selwood's case. So you might go into things with the intention of I might sacrifice a bit of scoring potential to get a more durable player only for that player to then go down with injury. So you've then sort of been hurt on two sides of the equation.
Yeah, I don't like taking, you know, that type of, you know, thought process in picking a player that's, you know, less durable just because, you know, the other player could go down with a freak injury. I don't like taking freak injuries sort of into consideration.
It's better off playing the averages.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like the Gary Ablett pick in terms of scoring potential, but I probably have to agree with Mark that unless you're comparing, you know, Ablett to somebody who's only going to average 105, that if you can get somebody like Boyd or even Murphy who might average, you know, 10 less than Ablett, that I'd still probably prefer going with Murphy just because when you get hit by freak injuries, as it's happened this week, it's just going to hurt so much more if you happen to be on a bye with anyone else, and therefore the trading that you have to do to get around that might be a lot worse. Because I'm sure some people, you know, might be thinking, I can hang on to, you know, a 2 to 3 week injury, but that's just a small niggle paired with somebody getting dropped, as Mark, somebody getting rested, as Mark mentioned, and somebody on the bye is just going to absolutely kill you. So, yeah.
I guess that's the thing. I probably have I rate Ablett a bit higher in that case because I'd probably see him as probably almost 20 points per game better than the other options that are available this week with both Pendlebury and Swan not in consideration. And then sort of you factor in the fact that every other player will have a bye. So even if Gary does miss one game for the rest of the season, he'll pretty quickly make up that gap in overall points scored for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that seems a bit extreme considering the current average difference between Ablett and Murphy's only 4 points, though.
Yeah, but if you look back to previous seasons, it's been sort of more than 4 years since Gary averaged under 130. I guess 129.8 last year, but I'd say he's going to average over 130 for the remainder of the season. Murphy, on the other hand, I'd say is probably going to, he's averaging 119 now, but I can see that slipping back to 115. So I guess in that case, it's more a 15 point difference, but that's sort of where I see things.
Yeah. Ablett did move from Geelong to Gold Coast, though, and Murphy is playing with Carlton, who have moved from about 6th to top 4, pretty much, and he's also a young, improving player.
I'd see Murphy averaging 120 reasonably easily for the rest of the season, and I don't think Ablett is going to average a lot more than 130. With all this being said, I already have Murphy and I already have Boyd in my team, so I have the cash and I will be picking up Gary Ablett this week, so... although I think that he's quite a risk, I'm actually personally going to get him just as I've been hit pretty hard this week with Selwood, Mundy, Pendles and Swan, and I think I need to pick up someone that could score so big.
Okay, so we've talked Boyd and we've covered Murphy briefly, but we'll just go through him. Now he's 547,000 and as covered briefly, he's averaging 118.9 at the moment. So he's actually the fourth highest averaging midfielder at the moment, which was quite a surprise to me. He's obviously a really... No? Yeah, you can chuck in your brag here. Mark was on him all season long.
He was my number one pick in the preseason, and I did mention that on the podcast, but go on.
Yeah, so he's a really good option, obviously, as Mark said. He thinks he can average 120 pretty comfortably, and his last 4 weeks, 145, 147, 127, 122, it's kind of got to make you smile. He's doing very well at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like the way he goes about things, and he's really turned himself into a dream team stud this year as well, just racking up huge possessions every week. And he really seems to run out the games really well. Like, if he's a little bit down at three-quarter time, he'll just have a huge last quarter because people just can't run with him. His tank's just so huge. So I think he's going to be someone that's going to be a fixture in my team for probably the next few years, and comes very highly recommended, especially with Carlton having a reasonably late bye, so they probably won't rest him in the last few rounds. And Carlton's improvement this year is definitely going to lead to higher SC scores from a lot of their players, especially their stars like Murphy.
And Boyd already got a glowing review. He's currently priced at 513 due to his poor score in round 11. He only scored 72, but his break even's 122 after his huge game on the weekend. So he's a big recommendation, probably number one recommendation for the week.
Yeah, he's
just because of his price. Yeah,
and also his schedule coming up is looking pretty tasty as well. He's got Adelaide, Gold Coast, and Melbourne in the next 3 weeks. So I'd imagine Boyd's going to tear those sides apart.
Now, the next guy we're going to look at, we've mentioned, and Hawker brought him to our attention in particular during the SOS podcast, and that's Matthew Pritis. He's currently averaging 115. He's priced at 493,000, and of course, he still has a pretty good run home, so he's a good option there. And next guy we're going to look at is Nick Dal Santo, who's averaging 108. Now, he's probably a bit more contentious of a pick, but he's probably a value option. I know a lot of people don't actually have that much cash in their side swaps. So what do you guys reckon of Nick Dal Santo? Do you think he can manage 115?
Yeah, really, a lot of it depends on St Kilda's form, I think. If you think that St Kilda are going to become a top eight, maybe even a top six team, then Dal Santo is going to be a pretty good pick from here. But he's had a few down games this year so far. He's had four games under 100 already. I think he's a pretty good pick at his price, and he's definitely presents some values. He's got a huge SC pass, so definitely not a terrible pick. Really depends on your view of the Saints, though.
Yeah, his remaining runs: Geelong, North Melbourne, Port, West Coast, Adelaide, Gold Coast, Fremantle, Collingwood, Sydney, North Melbourne, and Carlton. So it's pretty mixed there. I think you can expect, you know, the regular for Dal Santo, that he'll pump out, you know, the big scores against those poor teams, and maybe might struggle and pull out, you know, a couple of crappy scores against the likes of Geelong and Collingwood. And next couple of players we're going to look at are from Hawthorn, who are in really good form at the moment, and of course have a really good SOS coming up. So the first guy we're going to look at is Sam Mitchell, who's at 468,000. He's currently averaging 107.7. He normally averages about 105. That seems to be about his fantasy limit, but just looking at the SOS, and I think we've mentioned Mitchell before, that he actually looks like a pretty good option.
The one thing that stands out is his highest average ever is 110 back in 2005, and he averages 100 to 110 every year, but just doesn't seem to have that upper ceiling that some of the others do. Maybe this is his year and he might go to that next level. He's been super consistent so far this year with only one score below 90, and that was 85. So if he stays fit, which he does have some durability concern over the last couple of years where he'll miss a game or two, with Hawthorn's run, he's a ball magnet and should rack it up. What do you think, Buzz?
Yeah, I guess my big worry with him, and it applies equally to Luke Hodge, would be the fact that Hawthorn play Gold Coast in round 24. And to me, that sort of flags this sort of warning signals that Hawthorn are going to rest quite a few of their stars leading into finals. I think most people are would be pretty confident in putting Hawthorn in their top four, despite Roughhead going down with injury on the weekend. I think that hurts their team structure quite a bit. But looking at their remaining opponents, I think they're going to win enough games to finish in the top four, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Alistair Clarkson resting quite a few of their better players in that last game of the year.
So that brings us to Luke Hodge, who's 465,000. He had quite a bad game against Geelong. He only scored 55. He has had quite a poor record against them since his Norm Smith game in the 08 grand final. His break-even's 175, so unfortunately, most people who have Selwood and Mundy will probably be looking to trade this week. But if you can hold off, he's going to drop a fair amount, you'd think. So if you can wait, and you can extract a bit more value out of him. But I think they are playing Gold Coast this week, though. So
they are. And to some extent, break-evens, like if you have to trade this week, break-evens are largely irrelevant. Like if you can't wait for them to go down in price, then you just got to look at their current price and what you think that their output's going to be. So playing the Suns this week, if you're going to pick a Hawk, this is the week to do it. Do you think Hodge is a better pick than Mitchell? I probably do, just because his ceiling seems to be maybe 10 points higher than Mitchell. And really, we're looking for that sort of thing where we're not looking for 105 average. We're looking for someone that could average 115, 120.
Yeah, well, that's sort of why I picked Hodge a couple of weeks ago. I do think, especially with his SOS, that he's capable of averaging 115 to run home the season. So I personally would pick Hodge over Mitchell, especially. Yeah,
well, if you look back at his scoring history, he's had 3 years where he's averaged over 115. Of course, I wasn't playing Supercoach back then, but 2005, if you picked him then, that was a great move, average 135. I guess my one thing with Hodge would be a lot of how he scores depends on what position he's played in. He's one of those guys that can pretty much play every position on the ground. And I reckon sort of that rebounding half-back role is probably his most lucrative one in a Supercoach terms of things. And the problem is he can also play forward, which he's pretty good at, but he doesn't seem to score quite as well. And now with Ruffhead out of the team, I think there's quite a possibility that he'll spend a fair bit of time floating around the half forward line.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, Faz, because when he did average 135, I think he was actually playing forward at that stage, and he can be quite a goal kicker. He can chip in for 3, 4, 5 goals in a game. He especially against this weaker opposition that he's got coming up. Now, he scored 3 scores below 80 this season. One was in round 2 against Melbourne, where clearly he was still struggling for fitness, and the other two, he was both tagged by Cameron Ling, who he obviously has a problem with. So now that he's got the Geelong games out of the way, pretty much all his other games are above 90, and he's capable of those 150s. So, I think Hodgie's a pretty good pick at the moment.
Yeah, well, and if he plays in the forward line, just got the two series ticker up here. Gold Coast and Brisbane, he has 3 games against them. They all give away a significant amount of points to forwards. Bulldogs give a lot of points to forwards as well. And Melbourne and Essendon also on the high side in terms of how forwards score against them. So that's not too bad, even if he is moved up there.
Well, it looks like I shot myself in the foot with that comment. So let's move on to another player. Ryan Griffin is the next guy we've got on our list. Didn't play too well on the weekend, I didn't think, against St Kilda. He was matched up against Goddard at one point. They went head-to-head, and it was pretty clear who won that contest. He's currently priced at $458,000. Averaging 108 and break even of 140, though, as we remember with Mark's comments, it's not all that relevant in terms of midfielders this week. What are you guys' thoughts on Ryan Griffin?
Yeah, well, he was averaging, I think, about 118 around there up to about round 8. But since then, he's only averaging about 100 at the moment, and it pretty much coincides with the Bulldogs' pretty significant slump in form. And yeah, I'm a bit concerned with their pick, with this pick. As Faz mentioned, they do have a pretty tasty run of opposition coming up in the next few weeks. So if you want to pick up Ryan Griffin sooner rather than later, would be better for that. But I'd probably prefer the other picks around there, particularly the Hawthorn boys, for the similar price.
Yeah, but I've been a huge fan of Griffin this year. The one thing that's bugged me that it's been a problem with him in previous years has been his consistency. But he's really brought a lot of consistency this year. He's only had 2 really low games below 80 and an 85 against the Tigers. But he hasn't scored big for 4 or 5 weeks, but he could easily get back up there and score some big games. So he's very risky compared to some of the others. But I think that he might be maturing as a footballer. And if it's not this year, then I think next year he might turn into actually start putting in some consistent fantasy scores, which it's something we haven't really seen from him before, and it's been the main knock on him. So not a terrible pick.
Now, the next guy we're going to look at is Jimmy Bartel from Geelong. Of course, they have the good SOS, which we've talked about a few times now. He's currently priced at $440,000, so he's the cheapest guy out of all the options we've looked at. He scored 144 2 weeks ago and 98, so he is set to go up in prices. It's pretty much him bottoming out, so it's a pretty nice time to get on. And of course, Selwood going down for the next four rounds should see players like Jimmy Bartel lift their scores at least for the next 4 weeks as well. So good signs. I do like him as a pick. He has averaged 125 in the past, and as just mentioned, they have good SOS. So good pick, I reckon.
I had him last year, and he frustrated the hell out of me, but it wasn't too bad a pick. It's just he really has 160 one game, and he'll score 60 the next game, and his role just doesn't allow for consistent scorings. But, yeah, I expect him to average over 110 for the rest of the year. What would you predict his average to be, Marcus?
Well, I'd say 115. Yeah, just because they have strong SOS, and I really do think that he's going to score significantly better with Selwood out. Because Selwood is a gun.
You could almost side trade Mundy straight to him. Like, I think it's about 5,000-6,000 is the difference.
Yeah, which is obviously great. As we mentioned, a lot of people are a bit strapped for cash because they've used it up all on upgrades or whatever. Now, we'll move on to the forward line, but we just want to mention that for those players that, as I just said, are struggling for cash with the Mundy trade, that you could also go for a forward mid MPP, and there are quite a lot of options that we're going to cover now that are actually really well priced in terms of their current average, and they just had a poor game, so they've slipped a bit. We'll start off with Matthew Pavlich, who, of course, is doing absolutely brilliantly so far this season. He scored 133 on the weekend and is currently averaging 112, priced at 471,000. And, of course, if you get him in the midfield, he provides that extra pivot for you to MPP into the forward line. And we've seen so far this year how valuable that can be in terms of avoiding a donut. What I really wanted to get in here, Mark, is how we think that Pavlich will do with Mundy out and Sandilands probably still out for at least another couple of weeks. Do you have a thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, he's been tagged a lot this year anyway, so I guess that'll just be stepped up a little bit. I know the Bombers, I tried not to watch that game, but I heard that we didn't really go anywhere near him for a lot of the game. His role in the midfield, which is obviously going to have to play even more with Mundy out, has meant that he's really added some consistency to his scoring. His lowest score this year is 85, whereas would have been a bit lower in the past. He sort of would have a 50 or so here and there. So that's an added bonus with Pavlich. I think Fremantle are probably going to struggle a little bit now with Mundy and Sandilands out, depending on how Sandilands comes back. And I think that'll probably affect Pav's scoring. But he's a consistent midfielder. He's got the MPP. He's pretty durable. I know he's had a few games off in the last few years, but over his career, he's been very durable. And the thing that turns me off a little bit is his percentage ownership, and that is, it's just huge. Like, I think he's owned by 90% of the top 500 teams or so. It's just crazy how many teams do have him. So in one sense, if you don't have him, then you'd get on him and it'll sort of nullifies the advantage that others have. But if you don't have him and he does go down and misses a few weeks, you could get a huge advantage there. So that's sort of keeping me away from him a little bit at the moment.
Yeah.
I guess just quickly going back to the loss of Mundy, one thing that will help that is that Barlow's due back this week. I didn't know he had a massive game in the Waffle on the weekend. So that will just provide a bit of extra midfield support for him.
Yeah, and I just want to say with Pavlich, I know his buy is in round 16, but it is better to go earlier rather than later with Pavlich, even if you're not bringing him in for Selwood or Mundy. He has Melbourne, Brisbane, Gold Coast, but after the buy, he has a significantly tougher run. Sydney, West Coast, Hawthorn, St Kilda, Carlton, North Melbourne, Collingwood, and Western Bulldogs. That's a pretty tough run home, so just keep that in the back of your mind.
And he's already struggled against the Saints and the Hawks this year with two of his lower scores against that good opposition.
Yep. Another player for Fremantle that we're going to talk about is Nathan Fyfe. Now, I know you're a big supporter of this pick, Mark, so I'll let you have your little spiel.
I am a huge fan of Nat Fyfe, and I really wish that we could get him to the Bombers. I was talking to Faz earlier about trading Gumbledon over. I know Gumbledon doesn't have as badly played a game, but yeah, Fife's an absolute superstar, and I think if he played for Melbourne Club, that he would be talked up even more than he is at the moment. He's posted some really good scores this year. He's averaging 104 in Supercoach, and that includes 58 a couple of weeks ago. The problem with him is his durability is going to be a concern. He popped his shoulder out a few weeks ago, and it's basically popping in and out every game, apparently. So could cause him to be rested at some point, and that's basically why I didn't pick him up last week. He was my number one candidate last week, but the research that I did on that said that he's going to struggle with it at least for the rest of the year. It might even if he doesn't miss a game, it might affect his ability to take overhead marks, which he's really good at it. So Some durability concerns there with Fife, but he's so good to watch that I think a lot of people would just love to have him in their team. So scoring potential seems quite good.
Yeah.
And I guess just adding to that sort of durability concern would be the fact that he's only a second-year footballer. So, you know, just hasn't had that experience of playing out 22 games in a season. He played 16 in his debut year last year. So it's probably likely that his body is just going to get sort of sore towards the end of the year, particularly with that run of opposition that Marcus mentioned when we were talking about Pavlich. It's likely that he'll need a rest at some point.
Yep.
And that's what you think. You look at him and you think he's a skinny kid and he's going to need a rest. But he was even skinnier last year. And once he got into the side, he only missed one game after that. The one thing about Fife is that every time I doubt him, he just comes in and just goes past my expectations and just removes those doubts. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just plays it out.
The next player we're going to look at is Brent Harvey from North Melbourne. He had an absolute rip of a game last weekend. And I suppose that's probably my biggest knock on him as a selection, is that missing out on his big scores really hurts, because Harvey tends to put in the crap score, but he makes up for it in his average with posting a big score. So you have missed a massive 155 if you're bringing him in. Having said that, he still is a good option if he, you know, runs out the season with 100. He's currently priced at 427,000, and of course he's eligible with the forward mid MPP.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought this would be a concern with his bye coming in around 21. There's North aren't usually a very popular team for Supercoach players, but I know Cam Richardson was a fairly popular pick during pre-season, and he's shown some good form I think he plays for North Ballarat, not sure which of the two clubs he's at, but him as well as Drew Petrie is in a lot of teams. The link with Joel Tippett obviously can't be used in that week to help anything, so that could just be a problem having three North players in your forward line.
What you might be able to do that week though is say you've got Mzungu in your midfield on the bench, you could link him up with Harvey, and that at least takes one of them guys out of the loop. So yeah, it's definitely a problem to look out for there, Faz, and if you have an injury in the wrong spot, it could totally mess up your plans. But Harvey's MPP is insane durability. Like, he's missed what, 8 games in the lot since 2005, and they were all with the same injury. So as Marcus said, his scoring can be, you can have the bad games, and he was coming off 2 of them before the weekend, and I really thought he'd be cheaper this week and I was going to pick him up, but I think he's a super pick for the rest of the year, but given the injuries that I've faced, I'm probably going to have to let him go.
Now we're going to look at a couple of Sydney blokes. We'll start off with a slightly more disappointing one first, and that's Adam Goods. He had a crap game on the weekend, scored 53. It's his fourth score under 70, which is really what's dragging his average now down. He's only averaging 96 for the season at the moment. He is priced quite cheaply at 420,000, but the biggest issue with Adam Goods is that, you know, contrary to the pro start early part of the season, he seems to be moved pretty permanently into the forward line at the moment, which of course is quite bad for his Supercoach scoring.
Yeah, particularly when you look at his goal kicking this week, and I know he wasn't Robinson Crusoe in this regard, but 0 goals for. The conditions are pretty bad, but even so, a dual Brownlow medalist should be able to do better than that.
Yeah, and it has been a trait of him in the last couple of years that his kicking for goal has not been as good as you'd think it would be. He's had 3 scores under 100 in his last 4 games, and the only one that was above was when they absolutely demolished Brisbane. So his form of late, at least his scoring of late, has definitely been a concern. And I remember after the North Melbourne game, Marcus, we were talking about him on the podcast about how he was just dropping easy marks. So, I think if you don't have one of these two Sydney players, Goods or O'Keefe, you should get one of them. At the moment, I'd probably be taking O'Keefe.
Yeah, well, his last 2 games have been 143 and 130, and he's only had the 2 scores under 80, although he has had 3 in the 80s range. But what O'Keefe is able to do is pump out big scores relatively frequently. We did see him, I think, 2 years ago on an absolute run where he averaged 130 for about 8 weeks. He's currently averaging 105, which puts him as an absolute top pick in the forward line at the moment. Of course, the multi-buy round does affect the Sydney players. So look out for Goods and O'Keefe if you're thinking of bringing them in, because I know a lot of people brought Riewoldt in early, and we'll talk about him in a bit.
Yeah, again, you can link them up with the MPP. Hopefully you have that set up in your team so you can sort of get around that a little bit, where you just have one Sydney player in the midfield and Jack Riewoldt in the forward line, which it makes it a bit easier to deal with. He has got Carlton and Collingwood in the next 2 weeks, so that's pretty tough strength of schedule there, but it does open up a fair bit for the rest of the season, with only playing really Geelong, the only other team in the eight at the moment, and Fremantle. So it does open up a bit in the latter half of the year.
Yep. Now,
and Essendon, Mark. Don't forget, we're still in the eight.
Oh, really? I definitely had. The way we've looked in the last few weeks, mate, in that first quarter against Brea, I've forgotten.
Yeah. Easy mistake.
All right, now the next player we're going to look at is Colin Sylvia. Of course, he had the corky in round 11 and was subbed off, so he only scored 32 that game, but came back with a vengeance last round, scoring 104. He's been an absolute top pick before his poor score in round 11 due to the corky. He hasn't actually had a game under 80, and he's also managed some pretty nice scores. It was 159 in round 7. He's a good pick. If you don't need to upgrade in the forward line this week, then he might be one to hold off on another week, because his break-even is 157. But you're certainly looking like an excellent option, and I'm targeting him for my team. But he does play in the multi-buy round with Adelaide and Fremantle, so do look out for that. Obviously, a lot of clashes will come from Pavlich and the like.
Yeah, I think the main people that should really be looking at Sylvia are probably league teams and teams that are going for their league results. So, because he shares a multi-buy round, which means basically he doesn't miss a game. And then in the last 4 weeks, he has West Coast, Richmond, Gold Coast Suns, and Port Adelaide. So he could be really crucial for you and your team in those last few weeks. Kicked 4 against the Magpies, coming off an injury where he probably spent a lot more time forward than he normally would. That was pretty good signs for me. I know he's never played more than 18 games in a season, but then he's missed a lot of games in the past because of suspensions, and you would think that he's matured this year, and he's definitely shown that so far this year, that he does seem a different player to previous years in his maturity levels and his ability to maybe handle the injuries and the fitness and things like that. So I'm basically trying to wait as long as I can before I would be getting him into a league team, but someone definitely high on people's radar that are going for league results.
The nice thing about him in the Supercoach sense is that this guy's very much, and I think Faz mentioned it, a one-way player, that he's always looking to be that outside player, to always looking to kick the goal, always looking to get that extra possession, which is absolutely great for a Supercoach player. So from that perspective, he's really good. Now, the last player we want to talk about in this week's podcast is someone who's been a bit down in form recently. His last 4 games have been 75, 104, 63, and 57, and that's Jack Riewoldt. He's currently priced at 373,000, and his break-even's 141, so he's going to drop even more. Now, what I wanted to talk about is, you know, considering he is playing in that, his buy does come in that multi-buy round with Sydney and Brisbane, and he's not performing quite as well as we'd hoped, especially in recent weeks, that is he a guy to trade out of your team?
I think it's easy to say that when Jack's coming off a couple of poor games, or 3 of his last 4 have been 75 and below. So I think it's easy to look at trading him out. But if you're looking at the 4 weeks before that, he had a couple of hundreds in there and a 94. So he's going to be a very patchy player. He's going to be a very inconsistent player. It could easily be, he's got the Lions this week, who have basically no defenders. Melbourne the week after, who do have a much better defense, but Rivers got exposed by a cloak on the weekend. So he's the sort of player that could easily go on a big run as well and get you back up there. So personally, I think he's very much a luxury upgrade, and it might only be lucky coaches like yourself, Marcus, that have plenty of trades and like zero injuries that could actually think about trading Jack Riewoldt. But yeah, I think he's someone that might almost end up as my eighth forward, just because his scoring has only been sort of averaging, what is he averaging? Is he averaging 89 this year? Well, that's not too bad.
80.9 it is, I think. Yeah. So not that great. The one issue, I guess, with that, Mark, would be given Jack Reynolds such an up and down player, is just picking which week it's going to be that he's going to kick those 10 goals.
Yeah.
And you definitely wouldn't want to, say, sort of look at your emergency scoring 200 points or whatever. It'd be a pretty tough pill to swallow.
What
do you think, Marcus?
I looked at, since you mentioned his upcoming run, I just taken a look at it then. So if you look at the next five rounds, it's actually really good. Brisbane give away a heap of points away to forwards. Melbourne above average to forwards. Carlton just normal, but then Essendon above average and Gold Coast a lot again. So if you carry him for those five rounds, then he gets Geelong and then the bye, and then West Coast, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, North Melbourne. If you want to trade him before that Geelong patch, that might be an option because he might be in for a poor patch around that time. But probably not. Having seen that his next five games, I wouldn't be trading him out yet.
Yeah, and I guess the other advantage of doing that, the trade later on, is that obviously a few players will have gotten their second buy out of the way, so you can pick up someone who'll play those last seven games of the round of the year for you.
And as Mark mentioned, it is probably a luxury upgrade, but still something to look at nonetheless. So that brings us to the end of this week's show. It's been quite long, but of course we had a lot to discuss this week. So we hope that helped you out in some small way. We know a lot of people in absolute carnage this week. Don't give up, because a lot of people in the same boat, and all the best in the upcoming round. Hope Lady Luck shines your way.
We'll see you all next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm probably one of the ones facing the carnage, so hopefully I can at least get through this round and get some decent points on the board. Don't forget, at FBDonkey on Twitter. Add me, I need more fans, and I will talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, I suppose I might as well plug the site's Twitter as well, at @your_sc_coach. So add us on Twitter as well and like us on Facebook. Thanks for that.
And if you listen to the podcast, jump on the forums, yscc.com.au. We've got some pretty awesome forums and a good community going down there now.
Yeah. Cheers, guys. Thanks for the show.
Yeah, I guess, he's a good pick. I don't really have anything else to add. I'm not sure why I started talking.
what I really wanted...